testimony? Does it work?
So I'm glad to be here. And as I mentioned, I'm a maternally currently a 5-month-old baby. I'm really pleased to be. Intellectually stimulating, unlike the one, which is beautiful, but it's slightly different kind of issues that I'm dealing in my everyday life. Okay, so I'll start up with a caveat. I'm trained as a lawyer, and my presentation focuses on the legal framework and a large breadth of the political discourse. So I focus on the question of what is the justice for national minorities, rather than what is a viable political model, which I think would lead us to different answers. The structures of my presentation is following. First, I'll outline the main problem that I raised against the public model, obviously, and then I will outline some of the possible alternatives or way of thinking about minorities, which also includes the most important guarantee, which is the participatory right. I'm not sure what extent you're familiar with the legal framework that is in Slovakia. If you have some questions, please ask me as I go through my presentation. The first criticism that I have, constitutional provisions relating to national minorities and the preamble to the Slovak constitution create two kinds of citizens. Those who are members of the dominant nation and those who belong to national minority. So Slovakia adopts the constitutional and legal structures that uphold civic equality, but yet privilege members of the dominant ethnic group to decide on fundamental questions in the state form. So the dominance of ethnic criteria in consideration of the fear of the right to self-determination, as some political scientists observe, creates two unequal citizens, those with an organic tie to the state and those excluded from this relationship. And this sets the stage for accusations that minorities are potentially disloyal and thereby for justification of restriction on minority rights and civil rights more broadly. So under a reading of the preamble to the Constitution by Jaroslav Hovanec, a Slovak constitutional lawyer, national and ethnic minorities are not constituent parts of the Slovak Republic. He writes, national and ethnic minorities must share the fate of the state-forming nation that exercises its natural right to self-determination. So members of national minorities and ethnic groups are expected to be loyal, but some are an equal citizen and participate in building and promoting democracy. This is the understanding of the position of the dominant nation and national minorities in the preamble. And so the Constitution goes on. On the one hand, it protects, to some extent, distinct ethnic identities of national minorities and ethnic groups. So the minorities are guaranteed the right to use the minority public, right to get their mother tongue, right to cherish their cultural heritage, and the right to participate in decision-making affecting minorities. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, they're viewed with a deep fear of their potential disloyalty based purely on their membership to an ethnic group that is different to the dominant nation. So the Constitution requires that the exercise of minority rights cannot lead to discrimination of the other population and to threaten the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the state. So consequently, we have minority guarantees that are based on the concept of individual minority rights, which emerge as a compromise between the demand of minorities to maintain their identity through autonomy and the other view that believes that it is sufficient to protect minorities only through non-discrimination provisions. So according to the widely accepted view, the Constitution therefore allows only for individual minority rights. From the practice that we have in Slovakia, I believe that the fundamental problem with this approach, as currently interpreted in the Slovak context, is that It is the majority that decides for minority, even in matters that intimately relate to their communities. So under the current legal framework, representatives of the dominant group are responsible for establishing the content of the support for minority cultures, as well as the content of the minority rights discourse. These representatives decide the optimal number of minority officials in public administration and select who they are to be, determine the proportion of finances that is necessary for the development of minority communities, choose which aspect of minority cultures need to be supported, for example, in case of socioeconomic deprived national minorities such as the Roma. They also design all development projects that are intended for this group. So the content and the scope of minority protection remain contingent on the goodwill of the majority. In fact, political scientists who argue for individual minority rights approach, such as Ivan Leeds and Cheryl Strohstein, conclude that public support of minority education and culture under this approach is in the hands of the majority. This reality will always raise questions about the effectiveness of government policy from the perspective of minority communities and minorities, as often mobilized draw this conclusion by studying of the Hungarian minorities in the Central European states, but also we should know that mobilization skills and opportunities of minorities differ. They are different, certainly different when it comes to larger minorities, smaller minorities, those are, that have been historically excluded from the society, such as Roma. But also in case of let's say, wealthier, better politically mobilized minorities such as the Hungarian. We have seen after the recent election in 2006 that even there is no guarantee that they will have an active say, even in matters that affect their communities. And for example, the critical administrative and governmental polls such as the Prime Minister for Human Rights and Minorities is not held by minority members. Now, often argument is raised that this individual minority approach is really corresponds to the standards that is in international law. And I believe that that's a right assertion, with exception of the fact that I don't think that this means that it's fair or just. And in fact, when we study preparatory works that led to these international conventions, whether it is the League of Nations interwar treaty regime or the that has a provision, an article on protection of minorities, we see that this approach in protecting minorities is a result of compromise between those states that believe that fairness for minorities requires autonomous regime and between those. They even wouldn't accept the territory. And as Canadian, and I believe that Bill Kimnick, a Canadian scholar, is right to say that minority norms should be based on justice criteria rather than on ad hoc compromises, which are often underpinned by security, peace and security concerns. And I also recognize that there are serious problems with autonomous regime, and they can lead to discrimination of minorities within minorities, whether they are defined along gender lines or ethno-national lines. But I don't think that means rejection of these models, but rather that means that we should look for institutional models that sort of they are capable of protecting, promoting autonomy for the whole communities, as well as protecting civil and minorities within minorities, and there is a strong emerging literature on this point. Okay, so my second point sort of relates to the first one, is that the existing framework of minority protection in Slovakia fails to meet the needs of the variety of minority groups in Slovakia. Basically, there is a uniform framework applies to the situation of groups there in distinct circumstances. So minorities have, are of different sizes, histories, culture, socioeconomic statuses, and degrees of political mobilization. And what we have now in Slovakia fails to recognize this fact. And I believe that it is largely because it is the interaction between ethnic Slovaks and Hungarians that that shapes these debates on the status of minorities and political willingness. So on the one hand, the political willingness to expand these constitutional minority rights, or reinterpret them, so for example, to provide for some autonomous regime, is constrained by this inter-ethnic relation as we can observe from public debate. Hungarians are constructed as a being of peer, ironically, minorities constructed to be a peer to a majority. But then we have a situation that where, for example, special representation right for Roma, who are arguably underprivileged in their degree of their political participation and could be secure equal sort of standard of participation to autonomy through these representation rights are rejected by an argument that this could mean that Hungarians will call for autonomy, which is unacceptable. But I think the bigger argument regarding of what sort of whether some minorities should have what kind of regime is that we have a model that fails to recognize differences among minorities. And I probably won't have a time to go into details, but when you consider, for example, that we have a territorial model in a organization the right to use language in public, which fails to recognize the needs of non-territorial contingent groups such as the Roma, which is completely unsuitable to their circumstance. Or we have a system. The more fundamental problem is that it fails to include some form of socioeconomic redistribution aspect, so it fails to recognize that some groups can be culturally as well as socioeconomically disadvantaged. The understanding of culture is strongly linked to language rights or accommodation of, for example, customary laws is rejected because simply it falls outside the scope of understanding of culture, which is connected to the language. Okay, we can go in our discussion into more details on this point. Now I'll start up with an alternative. So, sum up. The first point that I raised is that the problem is that under the current system, minorities are not capable of really participate in matters affecting their communities. They have no skills. It is the majority that decides for the minority. And the second point is that we have a uniform framework applied to circumstances in different groups. And I believe that both these criticisms seriously challenge existing matters of accommodation of minorities. And I recognize that under the current political administration, it's unlikely that some more progressive change or transformation will occur. But since I've got bracketed the political willingness factor, I will allow myself to outline possible alternatives. I believe before we discuss more collective approach, I believe there must be a fundamental change in thinking about minority rights. And I believe that critical should be to think about minority rights by looking at the criterion of justice rather than criterion of peace and security. So we should ask ourselves questions about fairness for minorities require, rather than looking at, okay, so if we don't accommodate, what sort of threat there is, or if we do accommodate, can it possibly lead to some form of security threat? Otherwise, I believe that we remain trapped in the current mode of oscillating between some protection and none. I believe that this change in thinking about minority rights will also bring a transformation in conceiving different regimes of protection. And the other point that goes back to my second critique is that once we make this shift, this allows us to debate concrete legal institutional solution that might be different for different groups. So one might think of alternative or territorial autonomy for Hungarians in combination for personal element of personal cultural autonomy for Hungarians living outside the autonomous regime, and for ethnic Slovaks, Romers, and other minority members living in the territorial unit. We can think of cultural personal autonomy for Bulgarians, Ruthenians, and other smaller minorities. In case of the Roma, we may want to explore an alternative governance that would not only in culture but also in social and economic affairs that would split the jurisdiction between the minority and majority. And if you are interested, I can elaborate on this point more in the discussion since I devoted my work to this question. I believe that before we get into such concrete detail, there must be a shift in how minority rights are perceived in academic